This is Ali Ciardo, and this is Photo Field Notes, stories and inspiration from professional photographers. My guest today is Michael Currier out of Chicago, and Michael's a performance and event photographer, so he has a little bit of a different perspective, and I just love how open and honest Michael is about everything that he's dealt with in his business and growing it and the ups and downs. If you're listening to this in iTunes, be sure to check out photofieldnotes.com for show notes, photos, and some other resources. Let's jump on in. I'm here with Michael Currier, who's a photographer based in Chicago. And Michael's a little bit different than most photographers. He's actually focused on performance and event photography in, you know, in Chicago. So, Michael, let's hear your story from the beginning. How did you get into this particular area of photography?
In college, I basically worked for a theater, and I basically sat at a desk and would check people in and out. But that entire time, I basically fell in love with the behind-the-scenes theater process. And so as I moved to Chicago, I made friends in sketch comedy. And as I just started to rediscover my love for photography, I decided to start shooting promo photos and sketch comedy photos of performances. And this was all basically for free. I basically just got a ticket to the show. And as I started doing that, I realized I really loved that, but I didn't know how to make an income from that. And so I just kept on doing it and doing it year after year, and basically until I got to the point where I felt comfortable. And so at this time, I was still working as a full-time designer and web designer. And I basically decided to just start taking a risk. And so I started working for myself. And so now for officially the last 2 years, I've been working as basically a full-time photographer that still does a little design on the side. But over that time, I've seen my skill set grow and my love for theater and performance art grow.
Okay. Well, let's go back a little bit, because I think that so often we hear these stories where people say, yep, and I took a risk and it's all good. And I know that there's so much more that goes into it than that. So get a little bit more into what made you feel ready? What was the point where you felt comfortable financially and with the business and just with your own confidence starting the business? And then was it all, you know, great from there? Or were there challenges and bumps along the way?
There was no like defining moment. I basically hated my job at the time. I was in a corporate office. I was a cubicle farm. I was still doing photography on the side. And basically I had a friend at a former agency be like, hey, we need somebody to do some headshots. And I'll probably be on for about 3 months, like once a month. And I did the math and the money I had saved up and the money that was going to come in from that was actually going to be enough to just keep me afloat for a little bit. And so I decided to gamble with it. And so it was, I don't know what's going to happen after 3 months. I might have to find a new full-time job. But I love photography. This is an opportunity. I want to do it. And so as that happened, like I had another small contracting gig for a freelance client in Boston to do web design work. And then I started getting more small like photography jobs on the side. And that just kept going. And so that's evolved over time, where now I've almost entirely switched my business over to a photography aspect of it. But it's still not necessarily easy. January, basically, I made no money whatsoever, photography was. And that made January and February really hard. And so I was pushing so hard to sell myself that now as the end of March and April comes, I'm finding myself shooting almost every other day for like 3 weeks.
Wow. And that seems to be kind of the way that it goes for a lot of photographers, no matter which specialty you have, where it's kind of this feast or famine. And typically warmer weather is the feast and then cold weather is kind of more the famine. And a lot of it is budgeting for that and planning for that. So is that typical for you? Do you tend to have a season when it's more busy?
Yeah. A lot of what I do is never in season or out of season because I work a lot with theaters themselves. So it depends on when their show cycle is. I'm going to be celebrating my 2-year birthday or anniversary here coming in May. And so it was really important to me to just get to that 2 years to feel like I have a network base I can rely on, but also so I can get to the point where like I'm seeing patterns in my work cycle. And so I'm now starting to identify where those patterns of dry work comes. And I'm trying to counterbalance that. So the most important part for me was basically not to just get discouraged and feel like my business is going to fail, because I worked so hard thinking it was going to fail that I almost had too much work going on right now. And so just figuring out where to not overcompensate and where to just keep a balance.
Interesting. So do you still kind of feel like you're striving to that, where you're feeling like the failure is still pushing you to keep going? Where are your clients coming from? Where are you doing your networking? Where are you building your client base?
Almost the entirety of my business is word of mouth or networking. And it's from connections that I made years ago that all of a sudden saw that I'm working for myself and like, hey, I have something that might be interested in. Or if I do one, like a good project for one theater, like if I work for a PR company, that PR company might have another project down the line. And so a lot of it comes from that. But surprisingly, I've had some really good success with just like cold replying to Craigslist ads. I've actually met one client that was a tech event that they wanted me to shoot, and they were from San Francisco and actually turned out really well. And then I had another like small magazine here in Chicago that I continually do work for. So it's a lot of networking, word of mouth. I get random people that say like so and so recommended me, and I have no idea who that person is, but they found me somehow. And so it's really random and weird, but for the most part, it's networking and word of mouth.
Tell me about the Craigslist postings. Are you actively constantly looking at Craigslist postings for people looking for photographers, or is that kind of a here and there sort of thing?
It's literally here and there. I think I've replied to four Craigslist ads in my lifetime. They've all contacted me back, and only one of them I turned down because it was a ridiculous amount of work for basically no pay.
Yeah, that's what I would think, that Craigslist tends to be more lower pay, people looking for, I don't know, people who aren't necessarily full professionals.
Yeah, and so that's the thing. Like, I'm not. Like there's a lot of wedding stuff out there, and I'm not really a wedding photographer. And so that's mostly it, like the bigger stuff that people need work for. Like my type of work is way more hit or miss.
Let's talk about that. Before we started recording, you were talking about how you kind of feel like you're style of photography, the thing that you do, falls into the other category. Like, there isn't, people just don't talk about being an event photographer, performance photographer. So many out there are portrait photographers, family photographers. I'm even thinking about on my photofieldnotes.com homepage, I have, you know, what do they specialize in? Newborns, weddings, all of these things. And currently, there's no one who does events. So, how is that for you? Do you feel like you're siloed? Have you found your people? How do you brand yourself for that when it is something that's so kind of different than what most photographers brand themselves as?
Yeah, no, I was smiling as you were saying that because when I first visited your website, I was looking through to see who other photographers you had on, and like nobody was representative of kind of what I do.
Right. So I'm glad to have
It's
you.
yeah, no, I don't, I kind of, I really relish being in that area is because like Chicago and New York and LA, like they have their definite handfuls of very big theater photographers, but they basically get a majority of the work. So there's not a lot of like middle ground people kind of myself. So like I label myself as a performance and event photographer as one that sounds kind of cool and you kind of ask questions about what that is. But I really love just seeing people on stage doing what they love and me doing my job to capture that as best as possible. There's just something about it that I love working in, and it just, I don't know, it just speaks to me. So the other thing is too, is like I still do like the occasional wedding here and there, and I still do a lot of portraiture and stuff like that. But that's not my primary source of income. But it's mostly just the performance stuff.
Okay, tell me a little bit about the actual photography work that you're doing. So, what is it? I have personally never photographed a performance. What is it like? Where are you? How is it different than photographing a portrait or a wedding or anything like that?
I mean, it can differ. Chicago is a very big theater town, and so you have your big theaters. Like the Steppenwolf, Goodman, Shakes, Victory Gardens, all of those. But you also have all these smaller theaters that either have their own space or they don't. And so every process is different. So for the most part, when I'm shooting the show, it's the night before they go into previews. And what I am is I'm basically the only one in the audience besides the crew who are basically teching the show. And so they do their show, and I'm basically walking around taking photos. And then afterwards, we'll go through the photos and we have to do like a quick setup. If I didn't capture something or if they want something slightly different, we'll do that again. But it's mostly just me watching the show kind of by myself with my camera. And in your smaller theaters, sometimes I'll be in the crowd in the front of that. and then just trying to be as quiet as I can and take the best shots as I can.
And they're using these for marketing, for the most part? Images for marketing?
Yes, the PR agencies basically work with the newspapers and other online outlets who have critics that come and see the show. And so the critics will write a review about the show and then use the images for publication.
Okay, here's a question. Tell me if you're comfortable answering. With things like, you know, I mostly do weddings, and I think it's pretty easy to get a really quick idea of what you can charge for a wedding. You can go look at, you know, if you have no idea, you can start by just seeing what does the market generally charge. And then obviously you kind of come up with personal rates based on your own experience and different things like that. How did you figure out how much you could charge for this type of photography?
A lot of trial and a lot of error. I'm still actually in the middle of figuring out how to do that correctly. When I first got into it, I realized I wasn't charging enough, and I'm still having some repercussions with some people because of that. And then for a while, a few months ago, I think I was trying to charge too much and then not enough work came in. So basically, I just defaulted to like a middle ground, and that seemed to be back on normal. There's not as much money in theater as people would think. It's definitely hard, and that's why I balance it out with other clients, especially like magazines and corporate clients. But for me, a lot of it is the love of the theater work. There's something there that I just always gravitate to. And so I love doing it. Some theaters play way better than others.
Yeah. So really the market told you what you could charge, and you kind of find that over time. I think, oh, I've been through the same thing, even though I guess I made it sound simple. Oh yeah. I just figure out generally what the market is, but I've definitely been there too, where I've fiddled with prices and put them way up one day and then kind of said, oh, is that too much? What is this going to do? And it's always kind of that fear as you tell the new price and see if people are going to come back. And yeah, I think that sometimes you just have to experiment and see what the market will bear and where that leads.
Yeah, and there's definitely a lot of that. Like, and I didn't take it like you're making it that simple, because like even with some of my like client work, like I charge what I thought was a pretty high amount, and then they don't even bat an eye. Like, yeah, that's okay. I'm like that, I could have probably charged more, or maybe my other rates are too low in other places. And so I get that from every angle, but like it's something I'm figuring out, and I'm fine figuring out. Like I'm still here. I'm still doing what I love. And so I'll get there. It's just a matter of time.
Okay. What about events? So performance is one part, but you also say event photography. What kinds of events are you doing, and where are those clients coming from?
It's a lot of it's related. Like I do performance and events, but like actuality, it's performance events. Like I just did an event for the Auditorium Theater here in Chicago, and they basically had a free screening of The Dark Knight. And before the free screening, they had an acrobatic circus dressed up as characters from Batman, and they were doing stuff in the lobby, and then they did a quick performance on stage. And so a lot of that's related. Like I'd shoot a number of events that were related to theater. And so like that's just one example, but it has an element of acting and performance to it. That's also like a step and repeat where people are in front of it with props, and I take their photo as well. So it's a mixture of that. But I've shot events, like I had a corporate client doing something for the Duff Derby here in Chicago last year that I basically just took like a documentary approach to, and other stuff like that.
And once you're done photographing the event or the performance, are you working from home? How are you kind of keeping your community going so that you're I think it's so common for so many of us who work for ourselves to kind of find yourself. I know I do. Oh, look, I'm working from home again. I haven't left the house. How do you keep yourself just feeling connected?
That's actually a very good question. And that's actually something I've been struggling with, is because there were good stretches of time where I basically just stay home all day and edit. And then at the end of the day, I just feel a total exhausted mess. For me, like the days where like I go to a shoot and come home and edit, I'm usually okay and I feel involved. But I also enjoy just going out and seeing shows, because I still feel like I'm meeting new people that are involved in the theater community, but I also feel like I'm progressing myself as well. Like I can see a show that I didn't shoot and be like, I love this story, I love this light, how would I shoot this if I was shooting that? And I can get ideas that way too. And so that's another way to keep me in the community and keep me sharp.
Yeah, and I know we were talking before about when I lived in Chicago, there was this particular cafe that everybody went to and worked at, and co-working and just kind of getting to know other people who ran businesses. Are there any communities like that that you're a part of with other photographers? Do you find that there's much of a community given that you're kind of doing something different?
Not other photographers. Like, I have a few friends that are photographers, but for the most part, they all do like architectural photography. Some do music photography, which is a little bit related to what I do. And then like studio work. So it's not quite the same. I can have questions, but that's something I'm actually struggling with right now and trying to figure out. But I just moved into Edgewater, which is up north in Chicago. And like the Chamber of Commerce has like a solo founders get together every once in a while. So I'm looking at stuff like that where if I'm not necessarily meeting people that do exactly what I do, I'm trying to meet people that have their own company and run it kind of by themselves. And so now I'm learning ways of how they run the business and approaches that they take and try and just readapt that to the photography business.
So any regrets looking back? Anything you would change about how you've done it?
No, I would have done it sooner. And I should have done it longer before, because this is the second time I tried to work for myself. And the first time basically didn't pan out because I didn't know enough about freelance, the industry. I didn't know enough people. Even in the moments where I wake up and I'm still kind of struggling to either find the client or feel happy with some of my work that I'm doing, I would not trade it in for anything. Like, my sister just had her baby girl last August, so it was my first niece. So I got to go home for 2 weeks and work from there. I get to be with friends. I get to work from home with our cat. And so I get to do what I love. So I know that the moments of struggle are still better than any other job I've ever had.
And based on your experiences so far, if you had to pick a piece of advice, it's kind of a lesson learned over the last 2 years, what would that be for other people who either want to get started in photography or are already working in photography?
Yeah, no, I've had a couple of people ask me this recently too. And my only advice is stick with it. Like 4 or 5 years ago is when I really started down this path. And I photographed a lot of stuff for free. I went to public events in Chicago for free and just photographed like the zombie marches, pillow fights and stuff like that. And basically just did it all for free. But all of that was basically helping me just learn how to see, how to basically capture the moments. And it wasn't for anybody. It was all for me. It was all personal work. But that made me fall in love with it. And after a while, I figured out how to get better at it. And I saw that progress over time. If I go back and look at my work from like 2011, like the idea of how I captured the event is still with me today, but the technical skill has progressed so much. So that's my only advice, at least, especially like anything remotely related to performance or events, is that you will get it as long as you stick with it. It's so easy for people to look at their work and look at other people's work and be like, I'm never going to get there. I'm just going to quit. I never really took that approach. I see other people's work and I'm like, I can be that one day if I keep with it. And so that's my advice. Just don't get frustrated with what other people are doing. Just keep doing it because you love it and eventually you'll get there.
I think that's really common advice. That's really good advice. To have personal work and not just do, you know, you can't just start with paid work. You have to really be passionate about the personal work and definitely sticking with it because it doesn't happen overnight. And it does take a certain kind of personality to succeed in this business and just as an entrepreneur in general.
Yeah. I mean, it took me a long time to actually start getting paid work. Granted, I had a full-time job, so I wasn't searching for that. But after a while, like the work kind of spoke for itself. And I get it. I know other people can do it too. Like, it's not necessarily rocket science. There's an art to it as well. But persistence is one of the biggest things. If you love it enough, you'll get better at it.
Well, Michael, thanks so much for chatting with me today.
Oh, thank you very much for having me here. I appreciate it.
Next week on the podcast, hear how Ellie Pritz ended up becoming a music photographer and moving to Austin.
It just clicked because obviously I have this really intense relationship with music and the same thing with photography. I had never realized that these two things would intersect and I just fell in love with it.